Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Entire staff, Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Senate confirmation process underway now for some of Barack Obama's key cabinet nominations, Treasury and State.
Mission, the man nominated by President-elect Obama to be Treasury Secretary, told senators he failed to pay Social Security taxes for several years. Tim Geithner was working at the time for the International Monetary Fund, which doesn't withhold taxes in a normal way, and in a closed meeting told Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus and others it was an oversight.
These errors were not intentional. Honest mistakes.
And not enough, says Baucus, to threaten Geithner's confirmation. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As for Hillary Clinton, whose only bump in the road to confirmation as Secretary of State could be conflicts of interest related to the Clinton Foundation, she told senators, relax.
I don't know who will be giving money. That will not influence. It will not be in the atmosphere. When the disclosure occurs, obviously, it will be after the fact, so it would be hard to make an argument that it influenced anybody because we didn't know about it.
Senator Richard Lugar suggested the foundation do without foreign government donations while she's secretary to make sure there's no conflict. She told them she doesn't think that's necessary. Stalkers, they're out there. In one 12-month period, a government report says nearly 3.5 million people, mostly women, said they were victims of stalkers.
He would sit outside my door for days on end waiting for me. Sometimes he would have access to my building and sit inside the apartment building in the stairwell waiting for me. I would be followed to work, followed to the laundromat, followed if I was going out with my friends.
Michelle Archer heads a support group called Safe Horizons. Most frequent stalking by telephone, but one-third of the victims say they were followed or spied on. So how great is the risk of a sexual predator getting his hands on your child, really? A Blue Ribbon Commission studied the question on behalf of 49 state attorneys general.
There is certainly a risk of predators, but the risk has been greatly exaggerated. It can happen, but the vast majority of kids are not likely to be harmed by an Internet predator.
CBS and CNET's tech analyst Larry Magid, who also happens to be a member of that Internet Safety Technical Task Force. A different kind of predator is believed to be on the run after trying and failing to fake his death by parachuting from his airplane and letting it crash.
Retired airline pilot David Smith says he and Marcus Schrenker were close.
We were good friends. I mean, I flew his airplane, gone to air shows with him, went to see the space shuttle.
But Smith says that didn't stop Schrenker from ripping him off for more than $900,000. Now, as the mystery deepens surrounding Schrenker's disappearance, Smith says he has no doubt the embattled financier would try to fake his own death and simply fade away.
I don't know if I would say he's smart enough, but he's bold enough.
Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 25 points today. The Nasdaq was up 7, and oil prices at better than $38 a barrel. This is CBS News.
OfficeMax believes that in this economy, small businesses should get all the perks that big businesses get, which is why we're calling small businesses like Zuma J's Surfboards.
Zuma J's.
Hi, I'm calling from OfficeMax, and we want to give you your own national radio commercial right now.
Okay, that's terrific, but I've got a whole store full of customers that want to buy stuff.
Well, you are on the radio right now. Can you just tell us in 30 seconds why you think Zuma J's is the best surf shop in Malibu?
The Zuma J's is the best surf shop in Malibu because it carries hardcore goods for hardcore surfers. No skateboards, no snowboards. Rip, shred, and tear. Zuma J shreds L.A. Buy a board. Don't delay.
Great. Awesome. Okay, so what if I want to buy a skimboard?
Skimboards, we got them.
Small businesses, join the Max Perks Rewards Program at OfficeMax, and you'll earn rewards that can be redeemed like cash. And right now, OfficeMax will give you 25% bonus rewards when you use your Max Perks card on big brands like Sharpie, Avery, and Post-its. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Promotion ends January 31st.
Statin drugs that fight the buildup of cholesterol may do a wider range of patients some good, according to one new study.
Nearly 34 million older Americans now take Crestor, Lipitor, or some other statin. In a study in the journal Circulation, Yale researchers estimate more than 11 million others would qualify to be treated with these cholesterol-reducing drugs, even if their cholesterol levels are normal. That's because a recent study found statins benefit people who have high levels of a protein that signals future heart disease.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. A Greenfield, Colorado man's in jail on charges of trying to sell his 14-year-old daughter to her boyfriend. They wanted to be married, but she's underage. Police say 36-year-old Marcelino de Jesus Martinez came to them. He wanted the police to get his daughter back because he hadn't been paid. Her alleged price, $16,000 in cash, 100 cases of beer, and several cases of beef. The boyfriend has been arrested, meanwhile, for statutory rape. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
In a world where brilliant tech professionals are forced to deal with mindless coworkers.
Should this be plugged in?
Incompetent bosses.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to come in on Saturday.
And job sites that don't know tech from dreck.
I said I'm a Java developer. That's got nothing to do with coffee.
There's only one hope for salvation. Dice.com. Dice is the number one technology job board. For over 17 years, Dice has focused exclusively on tech jobs, meaning you won't waste time sifting through the garbage you'll find on other job sites. Go to Dice.com to find thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, DBAs, project managers, systems administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. What a great day around San Francisco Bay. It's 75 degrees. The bay is the color of Superman's hair. And if you're hunkered down in a frigid zone in Boston or elsewhere, well, I'm sorry. Move to California. We're broke and we could use your money. In fact, later this hour, State Treasurer Bill Lockyer will be on the air talking about the financial meltdown that's building here in California. But first, we'll talk about closing Gitmo and accountability for the Bushies. Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU will join me in a moment. Next hour, a representative of organized labor, such as it is, Bruce Rayner, the president of Unite Here. They represent hotel workers and hospitality industry workers. And we're going to talk about the nomination hearings of Hilda Solis, a Californian, for labor secretary, and the prospects of passing the Employee Free Choice Act. Got a lot of Republicans nervous, so you know it's good legislation. Also on today's show, Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter from the Public Record, will be with us, detailing the scoop he published last week, John Conyers' intentions to investigate Bush. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They've got a new report on the revolving door. That's right, the Wrecking Crew members. They're packing up their desks, posing for little photographs in the offices that they're going to leave behind as they get ready to return to the think tanks and industries that they've been regulating. That's the revolving door in Washington. And it is now Senator Roland Burris. That episode appears to be behind us. And in the Free Speech Zone today, we're going to play, without a laugh track, George W. Bush's final news conference. And my only regret is that some reporter didn't get a breathalyzer up there on the presidential microphone.
because he really seemed to be loosey-goosey and enjoying some sort of relaxant. And he even used his famous malaprop, misunderestimate, and he appeared to do so intentionally with a straight face. So we'll share some of that with you in our final hour. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5. Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. We start, as always now, with a quick update on the Israeli incursion into Gaza. Chris Hedges properly referred to it as a slaughter of civilians. The death toll now stands at just under 1,980, according to our Gaza reporter Sammy Habib. And 4,400 have been wounded. And he says that of the recent victims, 370 are children, 160 are women. And that struggle goes on. Caroline Fredrickson lobbies for us on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union in Washington, D.C. She handles their government relations work on Capitol Hill. Caroline, welcome to the program today.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I enjoy talking with you, and we're seeing some progress here towards some of the issues that you and I have talked about, and your organization has been working so effectively on. Jonathan Hafitz was with us just the other day talking about the Almari case, and also Raed Girard, who was represented by the ACLU because of the T-shirt that caused him to get bumped off a JetBlue flight. He was on our show recently. So you're covering a lot of different fronts, and we're seeing, you know, inches of progress and the promise of much more. I want to focus right now on Obama's commitment and the plans that seem to be taking shape to close Guantanamo Bay. And yesterday, Caroline, your boss, Anthony Romero, issued a statement, which I appreciate because he's encouraged by the move but is pushing for the full kahuna. Because not only do we need to close Guantanamo Bay, we have to disband these military commissions. We need to repudiate the Military Commissions Act, or revoke it if we can, and we need to make sure that we don't find some sort of a substitute that permits detention indefinitely without charge.
Well, you know, it's absolutely right. I think we are very pleased that the president-elect has made the emphatic statement that he's made. Guantanamo is going to be closed, and he's going to issue an order, if not on inauguration day, then in the subsequent days. And that is terrific, but I think Anthony Romero was absolutely right to expect more. We need to know how. We need to know when. How is it going to be closed is such an important question, because some people have proposed that we just take these people and put them in some other black hole and forget about them. And we have to return to principles of justice in this country, and what we need to do is make sure that there's a process for prosecuting those who can be prosecuted or should be prosecuted and letting the others go, returning them to their home countries or sending them to another country that will accept them, and ending this shameful history.
And Caroline, the Bushies have been so fascinating because on the one hand, they take complex things and try to boil them down to a simple black or white, like you're either with us or against us. And then when you really confront them on critical issues like Gitmo and their departure from international norms and conventions, treaties, they turn around and say, oh, that is so complicated. And here's Dick Cheney giving public advice to Barack Obama, and Obama, at least on television Sunday, appeared to accept some of it, that closing Gitmo is more difficult than the campaign rhetoric might suggest. But let me ask you to break it down for us, because I believe that it is a fairly simple set of issues. Number one, anyone who deserves to should be charged. Simple as that. If we have a case against Almari, if we have a case against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, then make charges and either put them before a military tribunal through the existing system or into our federal courts. There are only 250 prisoners or so at Guantanamo now, so it's not nearly as complicated as Dick Cheney wants us to believe, is it?
No, absolutely not. You've analyzed it very well. The additional point I'd make is that of the 250 are there, even the Bush administration admits that most of those people won't ever be charged, and they should be set free. So we have a community of Uyghurs. These are people from Western China mm-hmm. who are Muslims and are ethnically more identified with the Caucasus than with the rest of China. And they can't be sent home because of fear of torture. Isn't that ironic? category. There are other categories of people. There's a large group of people from Yemen. Yemen is a country where we've apparently have some doubts about how they would assimilate people and ensure that there's some process for reintegration into society so they don't do the obvious thing, which is be mad at the United States and perhaps if they haven't been terrorists, then become terrorists. So there has to be some kind of a process.
And Caroline, let me just jump in on Yemen, because Salim Hamdan, one of the few people convicted at Guantanamo, who was then sentenced roughly to time served, was returned to Yemen and just in the last few days was released from incarceration there.
That's absolutely right, and that's sort of puts, I think, the underline under the fact that this is not so complicated. So you have these groups of people who are already slated to be released. So somebody needs to get on the job and actually work with allies and other countries to find them a place to go. That's the complicated piece, right? That doesn't take a little while, but it's not complicated in terms of what to do. We know what to do. We just have to get some countries to sign up and move these people into other countries. Or conversely, some of them can come to the United States. There is a large Uyghur population in the Washington area and mm-hmm. elsewhere in the United States, mm-hmm. And people have stated that they're willing and eager to accept and mentor the Uyghurs who are at Guantanamo, who everybody recognizes are there under very false premises. The Bush administration has admitted that they were wrongly taken. And so those are very, as I said, they may take a little time, but they're not difficult in the sense that people have indicated. And I think there's this other red herring out there, which is that somehow there's this group of people, we all know that they're really bad. They're really bad. They are terrorists, but we can't prove it in court because the evidence we have is the product of the torture that we used. Well, I'm sorry. If we think they're such bad people, we probably had some evidence besides the torture that came about after we picked them up. I certainly would hope so. And if our intelligence community cannot put together a case against the people that they are calling the worst of the worst, then either they haven't done their job or this is a fabrication. So I think we need to put that to rest. I think if they're going to prosecute people, they have evidence. If they don't have evidence, it's not simply because the only evidence that's available is the product of somebody's coerced confession. You just can't bootstrap that way and say, because this is the only evidence we have, we're going to keep them forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Caroline, as we look at this, what do you think? It's a little hard to read how far the Obama administration will go and to what extent some of the centrist old hands that have been appointed to the team will push back against Obama's inclinations here. Do you have any concerns about a new national security law that would permit indefinite detention without charge, just not at Gitmo?
We definitely have concern. I think President-elect Obama has said some very positive things, both before the election, throughout the campaign, and more recently. And I would like to take that to the bank, in that he's indicated that we're not going to pursue these flawed military commissions. The United States has a system of justice that has worked very effectively in prosecuting terrorists. The people who are in jail now are there because we use the criminal courts. Nothing, in fact, has happened at Guantanamo in terms of real convictions. The process has been a fraud. Mm-hmm. And so, he said that repeatedly, and I think it's going to be very difficult for him to walk away from that position. And we are definitely going to work as hard as we can to make sure that he upholds his commitment, but there are a number of reasons why I think he will, and one is it's about us. It's about who we are as Americans, and I think it's really important that we turn this page and that we move on. I think that the inauguration is a signal to Americans that we are approaching a new era in history. But there's also a very pragmatic piece to this, mm-hmm. which is that we have so many challenges in the world right now, from the economy to the war in Iraq to Afghanistan to Gaza. And if President Obama, when he takes the oath of office and gives his speech on Inauguration Day, does not indicate that Guantanamo is over and that we are restoring justice in America and that we are going to pursue a proper system of prosecution, I I think he will have lost a huge opportunity in the world, and I think we will suffer in our relationships with our world partners.
I certainly agree, and I also think that accountability for the wrongdoing of the Bush era needs to be pressed, and we'll talk about that as we continue. Caroline Frederickson from the ACLU's Washington office with us. If you have a comment or a question, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You get on the air, your mission will be accomplished. 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Duncan Robinson. Four on three up the left side. Jamal Boykin, the open floor. Goes in and Vidy and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
The Bears have the week off, returning next Saturday, January 17th at 4:30 p.m. as they visit Stanford. You can hear it right here on KRXA 540.
Denver Lions, and it's me.
We got the evidence now. Came directly from the president and the vice president's own mouths. And frankly, it's not too late for impeachment. It won't happen. I know that. But the Congress could actually do it. Caroline Frederickson is with us from the American Civil Liberties Union. Visit their website at aclu.org. There's a lot of good information on the great work that they do. And Caroline, I remain frustrated that the Democrats have no appetite for investigations, disclosure, and accountability for those who clearly broke the law during the Bush years. And as I referenced, Bush and Cheney have been remarkably frank over the last couple of weeks, and Bush himself has acknowledged that he personally approved the torture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And he claims that, I've got memos to show that it wasn't illegal. But we know that is a canard. And it just frustrates me that the Democrats, including Obama, want to give this administration a pass. They say, we don't want to get bogged down in a witch hunt about the past. Well, I don't want them to do that either. But a federal prosecutor, a special prosecutor, I think could do a great job at depoliticizing the effort and bringing to light the facts, ending the secrecy, at least some of it, and exposing to the U.S. and the world the misdeeds and mistakes that were made, many intentionally.
Well, here's the things, right? The Democrats have always taken a lot of pushing to do the appropriate work on national security matters. And I think people have been a little bit complacent, thinking that because there are more Democrats in Congress and there's a Democratic president coming in, that somehow our work will be over. And unfortunately, it may be just beginning. We have a really difficult task in front of us, in part because of the climate that we're in, which is one where we're, perhaps going into a new depression, and the economy is of great concern to everybody, and high unemployment and all sorts of other negative ramifications. But on the other hand, we are not going to give up. And Chairman Conyers in the House Judiciary Committee just introduced legislation that would set up a sort of blue ribbon commission that would undertake an investigation and would have subpoena power. And we support that, although it's not our favorite proposal. We really think that it's time that Congress stopped outsourcing its own responsibilities.
Amen.
Like the 9/11 Commission. It's a way of avoiding taking responsibility.
Yeah.
Now, Congress really is at great fault. It wasn't simply President Bush and Vice President Cheney. It was Congress that gave the blessing to a lot of policies and looked the other way on other ones. So, I think everybody recognizes that the Bush administration has been historic in the expansion of presidential authority, in the abuses of power, and that's been with the complicity of Congress. So we are pushing very hard for investigations, and I think they will happen, but I think it's going to require some very concerted effort. I was pleased to hear Senator Whitehouse from Rhode Island talking about how, regardless of what President Obama is working on, that it's still Congress's obligation to do its oversight and to look into these programs. And he sits on the Judiciary Committee and the Intelligence Committee in the Senate, and those are two places where we're going to be spending a lot of time trying to ensure that Senator Feinstein, your senator, is actually taking on some of these issues and is really giving it the oversight. I mean, what we really want, though, is the Church Committee. The Church Committee in the 70s.
Yeah.
Was an unparalleled example of oversight, excellent oversight by Congress. They really rolled up their sleeves. In 9 months, they got into the meat of the matter. They looked into the CIA abuses of using domestic surveillance, spying on Americans in violation of its charter, and looked into the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover and his spying on Martin Luther King, and into all of the ramifications of the excessive surveillance that was going on. And that is really what should happen, a special committee that has this as its main focus and looks at the abuses of power around torture and surveillance by the Bush administration. But short of that, we're going to be pushing hard for the committees, the existing committees, to to do their jobs, in essence. I mean, we can't move forward, no matter how much President-elect Obama stresses the forward-looking and positive side of his agenda. But there's no way that you can actually reform surveillance laws and the Patriot Act if you don't understand what's been happening up to now.
And you have, power of attorney for me, Caroline, on the FISA, the FISA Act, the Military Commissions Act, the Patriot Act. Go ahead, fix them. Thank you very much.
We'll do our best, and with your help.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. About 330 surviving members of this country's first all-black flying unit known as the Tuskegee Airmen of the Army Air Corps, who flew combat missions in World War II, have been invited to attend the inauguration of this country's first African-American president, Barack Obama.
Even though the War Department had issued a study back in 1925 that said Negroes didn't have the intelligence or the courage or the leadership to be in combat units, we proved that we did.
Roscoe Brown is 86 now. He plans to be there.
To go for inauguration of the first African-American president that we like to think we helped make possible is really very exciting.
More after this.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my day tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 303 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 303, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try. Free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 303. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Towards the end of World War II, the Army Air Corps made a film about the 1,000 black flyers known as the Tuskegee Airmen. The narrator was a young actor named Ronald Reagan.
It was never easy for these men. They were pioneers, and no pioneer has it easy. They fought lies, they fought heartbreak, and they won. Now they fight the enemy on his own soil.
Their mission was to escort bombers and guard them from enemy fighters. But Roscoe Brown remembers even in combat the military was segregated in those days.
One of the pilots from the Deep South said he wasn't going to sleep with any Negroes, and he was going to sleep in the plane. But when it got to be about 10 degrees, he finally let his basic needs overcome his prejudice, and he knocked on the door and said, "Can I come in?"
The Germans never shot down a plane guarded by the Tuskegee Airmen, who helped force integration of the U.S. military. Old men now, they'll be proud to see an African-American sworn in as commander-in-chief. Michelle Miller of CBS News asked Roscoe Brown,
if you could give President-elect Barack Obama one piece of advice, what would it be?
Be yourself. He has all the skills and ability to do it. Just be yourself, and we'll watch you back.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
California is drowning in red ink. We're held hostage to a Republican minority that is pledged not to the people of California or its Republican governor, but to Grover Norquist. Help! I'm not sure Arnold said, please. Joining me today to talk about California's budget problems is State Treasurer Bill Lockyer, and he's no stranger to the machinations in Sacramento. He started out as the assembly member from San Leandro in the East Bay, rose to the presidency of the state Senate, and served two terms as attorney general. He's now in his first term as state treasurer. Bill, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Peter.
And at the moment, are you glad you're not governor?
Well, you have to be pretty masochistic to want that job at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. State treasurer puts you in an interesting spot. You certainly can observe what the problems are, but you don't have the same level of influence you had when you were running the Senate, when you could actually help shape policy and negotiate directly with the governor.
Yeah, it's different in the sense that there the work is broader and thinner and touches sort of every policy area. Now, essentially, I'm the banker. And I'm finding, of course, there are lots of ways that are substantial. People sometimes ask me to compare it to being attorney general, and I just say, well, they like me more with money than subpoenas. But whether it's the two big pension funds that are the largest in the country, PERS and STRS, and their investment policies and benefits to people, health care, the issues that come up, and so on, or the more direct responsibilities in the treasurer's office. We're almost $2 trillion a year, kind of comes in the office and bounces around and goes back out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of stuff that happens that, for those of us that sort of believe that economics may be the basis for most policy outcomes, it's certainly visible in my place.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, just in 30 seconds or more, just what is the distinction between the job of the treasurer and John Chung, the state controller?
Yeah, sure. In some states, in fact, they're combined. Here, the treasurer is kind of the chief investment officer, and with a lot of responsibilities, kind of as the banker. And controller sort of understates it, but it's more like the chief accounting officer or administrative, issue the checks and things of that nature. There are some other responsibilities sitting on state lands commission or whatever, but that, essentially it's all the guys with the green eye shades.
Mm-hmm. And you peddle bonds to the extent you're able, right?
I do that when, as well as other things, yes.
So, Bill, give us, if we had the Jumbotron scoreboard here, what is the current state of affairs? What's the state's cash position? And just how much trouble are we in?
Well, the budget is about $100 billion a year. About half of that is devoted to education. And the remainder is largely prisons and health care. And then there's some small things, but mm-hmm. that's basically it. Of the $100 billion this year, we're about $15 billion in the hole. That is, they anticipated revenues fall that much short of authorized budgetary expenditures. Personally, I thought the budget was never balanced, but we certainly know it isn't now. And then looking at next year, the fiscal year starts July 1st, runs for a year. It's expected that that's somewhere $25 billion plus
mm-hmm.
in the red for next year. What's particularly hard, of course, is when you have to reopen and make cuts when half the year is already gone, then it sort of doubles the magnitude of those.
And what kind of confidence do you have in the revenue forecast based on the current tax structure?
Well, they're pretty good. You know, they're never perfect. I mean, it's hard, for example, in the fall to predict how many new cars are going to be selling a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to do that, and other transactions and so on. Sales taxes are, and personal income taxes are our two biggest revenue sources, and they're down, of course, rather substantially this year.
Just one snapshot for you, Bill. The 15th is coming up here. I'm a self-employed estimated filer.
Yep.
And I'll be writing a check, but it's about a fifth of what I wrote last year, and that was about half of what I wrote the year before.
Interesting.
So if that's any kind of an indicator, you know, I've felt the slowdown quite a bit in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my contributions to the state revenue fund is going down, and I suspect I'm not the only one.
You're right about that.
Yeah. So that's why I asked about the forecast, because things have changed so dramatically since September,
right,
that I don't have accurate forecasts. So I'm just wondering, you know, what your level of confidence is as the economy continues to decline and we clearly have not found bottom.
Well, they look every day. You know, they actually, you know, count the receipts every day, sometimes with a little lag, but they know what's coming in and how that measures up against the predicted income levels from different sources. So, you know, they try to fine-tune it and adjust it if it looks like it's not working out the way it was forecast. And that's probably as good a job as you can do at that. Where it's been more of a problem, frankly, is the politics associated with it, where routinely governors and the legislature underestimate expenditures and overestimate revenues,
right,
in order to get the budget passed,
mm-hmm,
which, you know, of course, gets to the issue you mentioned at the very start, how hard it is to get a budget when you require a two-thirds vote to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Rhode Island and Arkansas are the states that have that sort of pure two-thirds rule. There's some that have variations on it, but
mm-hmm,
it's very hard to get agreement of that sort.
And would you agree with my characterization that we are being held hostage by one man, by Grover Norquist?
Well, part of the problem, and I don't know that it wouldn't be their natural philosophy anyhow, but, you know, when I was in the legislature, that's been 10 years now, but I worked with moderate Republicans. Pete Wilson was governor, and George Duke Majan, and so on, and the Ken Matties or Bill Bagleys and others of the Republican Party kind of had a different attitude. No one liked to raise a tax, but mm-hmm, they felt like, well, if you have to, that's what you have to do if that's part of the deal.
Well, but just to be fair, Bags hasn't been there for years.
No, you're right. But the later group, when they were with me negotiating budgets, like Maddie and Bill Campbell and others,
yeah,
much more moderate, you know, about willing to make a compromise. Now, the new group, there's different theories about it. Obviously, they've all but one have signed the no-tax pledge. That's the Grover Norquist thing. But I think that may have reflected sentiment in their district anyhow. So even if they hadn't signed it, they probably would have said it. Maybe it's a little harder to break the promise when it's signed that way. But in Republican primaries, that seems to be one of the expectations. There's a whole new group that's anti-government, libertarian, cut, without really, a sophisticated understanding of what we're paying for. I mean, just one of many, many examples, but it's popular. They're routine comments about the bloated state bureaucracy. We have too many people, you know. Well, I don't know what too many is, but we're the second thinnest in the nation. Of the 50 states, you know, we're 49 in terms of the ratio of state employees to population.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that says something about whether you're bloated or not. Maybe that's not to say there's not some waste, of course, but it's empirical evidence that contradicts this philosophy that we hear expressed.
Bill Lockyer with us, California State Treasurer. If you have a question or comment, he's with us till the top of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And Bill, I do understand the politics of it. And as the Republicans were posturing through the spring and even into the summer, and even into the protracted delay, and finally a budget was approved that really wasn't in balance in early September. A lot of fiction in there. I was working with it and understanding the politics and the positions that the Republicans have taken. But as the situation has changed dramatically for the worse, I believe that their posturing has gone from political to irresponsible, and it's verging on criminal now, because to lock down the state of California and to prevent any realistic and necessary tax increases at a time like this, to suggest that we can cut our way out of this downturn is irresponsible, and as I say, it borders on criminal. And I really think that you and the other leaders of the Democratic Party in the state need to ratchet up the rhetoric a little bit and make people understand the extent to which we are being held hostage by a radical minority.
Well, 2 points to make. One is it's still a dollar spent in California, whether it's a dollar spent on the private sector side or the public sector side. And so to claim that somehow a tax is going to hurt the economy, well, no one's enthusiastic about increasing taxes. But the point is that tax money gets spent by a school teacher, a law enforcement officer, firefighter, child care provider, whatever. You know, it's still in our economy, and there's even an argument, depending on to what extent a new tax takes money out of savings, that it actually doesn't have a neutral effect, but it's a more beneficial effect. So that's one point about their theory. The much more practical one, I think, is this. Because of our cash flow problems and the budget is unbalanced and we're running out of money, I've had to do things like pull probably $5 to $6 billion out of local community banks, where the state has time deposits. We earn a little money there, and it helps them with their local loans to homeowners and businesses and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, banks loan about $12 for every dollar they have in a deposit. So it means if $5 billion comes out, there's $60 billion hit on the economy. Now, that's substantially more than, several times more than the tax that we're talking about. So just in a practical way, the delay and problems are causing economic problems. We're pulling several $1 billion out of construction projects for levees and highways and mass transit.
That had to be difficult for you and the other members of that panel to make.
Yeah, it's awful. We don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But we have an obligation to try to find the money to keep the budget moving, and so that's our first obligation to do that, and rather than ad hoc spending like this. But it means probably 50 or 60,000 jobs, largely in the construction sector, mm-hmm. that are going to collapse because we're not investing in infrastructure like that. Well, it's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing.
And I got to go to a break in a second here, but do you expect that a federal infrastructure stimulus package or a Washington bailout might help us restart those projects without state money?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Historically, the federal government has required some form of state match to qualify for federal dollars, and so far we don't know whether that will be an obligation imposed or not.
State Treasurer Bill Lockyer with us. We'll return in a moment to your phone calls, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
Commentary and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Can choice be saved? On Thursday, January 22nd, please join Planned Parenthood Marmonte in commemorating the 36th anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Join us for our annual luncheon, Can Obama Save Choice? Attorney Mickey Welsh will address these questions and more. The event will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Monterey on January 22nd from 11:15 to 1:15. Tickets are $25 for students and $35 for general public. For more information and to RSVP, please call Christina at 784-1109, extension 103. That's 784-1109, extension 103.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Bill Lockyer on the program with us today. And Bill, if you'll indulge me, I'd like to take a little ride in the Wayback Machine, way back 5 months, okay, to August of 2008. Because we know in hindsight, at least, that if the budget had been resolved, say, by even the middle of August, when you were instructed to go out to float the bonds and the short-term borrowing that keeps California's cash flowing, you would have found money. But instead, it was delayed because of the political posturing and gamesmanship, and you had to go out right at the end of September, early October, when the credit markets had locked up.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of difference would it have made, even if the same bad budget had been approved just 3 or 4 weeks earlier this year?
Yes, you're right. We can't go to the markets without a for short-term borrowing, without a budget having been enacted. So we just wait and urge them to move along and, you know, wait to see when we can go. I calculated once that the difference, the delay premium might well have been somewhere between $60 and $100 million.
Yeah.
And that was just in the short-term borrowing to make the cash flow work out for the current year.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And, Bill, when you were Attorney General, you and I disagreed on the ballot measure that would have reformed the three strikes law. And, of course, you had a very prominent seat there looking at the inflow, at least, to the Department of Corrections. Do you see any way to reasonably reduce the population to cut the costs in one of the biggest budget sectors in California without compromising public safety?
Well, you know, there'll always be some additional public risk when people are not incarcerated, and that's partly why politicians worry that, you know, they're going to have the Willie Horton ad running while they're a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
There, yes, though, there are things that could be done. And, you know, I was always an advocate for conferring more discretion on a trial court so that that judge could decide whether or not to count a strike and impose a longer sentence or not. And they mostly have that discretion now because of Cal Supreme Court rulings.
That's right.
I think that's good.
It's better. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the question is, you know, and costs, the prison costs are astronomical and growing, and those costs are almost a direct function of sentencing policy. So if you're going to try to contain those costs, it's very interesting when you do an analysis of looking at 10 years, what has exceeded the Republican aspiration of having a cap on government spending that does not break population and inflation. Well, the only things that do, basically, are prison spending and tax cuts, and welfare and education, university spending, those kinds of things that Democrats are an advocate for regularly, doesn't even or barely gets to be even with inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to control those expenditures, you have to figure out ways to reduce recidivism, and that means education and job training and drug treatment at various places so people don't go back to prison. Two out of three of them do once they're released. And so that's part of it. Parole reforms, not pulling people in for technical violations of paroles, the aging population in prison probably doesn't need to be there.
And if I can jump in on that, could you call one of your old pals at the AG's office and tell him to back off on John Dannenberg? He just celebrated his 69th birthday at San Quentin. He's got four appeals in the courts. He's cost your office hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I know, I understand.
And he's not a threat.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of discussion that needs to go on. And it's interesting because states that are a lot more conservative than California, Texas and others, have made modifications in sentencing policy successfully and seem to be having a better outcome.
Let's take some callers. And Joe is making me jealous. He's on a boat in Monterey Bay today.
Oh, my.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah.
You're hurting me.
I'm too jealous now because they got these high and low tides, and I think I'm about ready to sink here waiting for you to get on the line.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you mentioned wave action before. I'm having one of them old-timer moments. You mentioned back when Locklear was attorney general.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing a memory check because sometimes I mention stuff way back. I remember an article hidden, you know how they hide pertinent stuff. Way back, I think it was on page 30 of the San Jose Mercury, I was sitting having my senior coffee at Burger King, you know, because that's all I can afford, the dollar menu, you know, even back then. And they had an article that mentioned Mr. Locklear went into court when they were trying these guys that Washington, Oregon, and California caught them on the overcharges during the blackouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it mentioned that there was 130 people that Bustamante had rounded up for overcharges to the state of California. And in the article it said that they all walked out of court. Now, you tell me how many people under indictment for overcharges, and I think the total in the article, I should have flipped that article out, it said that it was to the tune of $10.8 billion that Bustamante figured out in overcharges to the state. And instead of reimbursing the people that were overcharged, which PG&E would never do anyway, why didn't they apply that to the state deficit then?
All right, Joe, that's a long question and colorful. His name is Lockyer, not Lock. You're mixing him up with Heather Locklear. And Cruz Bustamante was not a math genius. But go ahead, Bill.
Well, he really didn't have any responsibility with respect to these matters. But separate from that, what we did do was sue the Enrons and all the big power companies for ripping off Californians while I was the lawyer for the state. We recovered more than $4 billion from them. Now, it doesn't go into the budget because it's money other than the piece that the state is overcharged.
Mm-hmm.
It goes into the rate-paying system. So the Public Utilities Commission that sets those rates takes that, integrates it into the forthcoming rates, and there's a reduction in what you would otherwise pay. Mm-hmm. So that's how people get their money back.
All right. Helen in Brookings, go ahead. You're on with Bill Lockyer.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling as a state of California employee. I work at Tarkin Bay State Prison.
Okay.
I also am president of my district labor council, CLC 749, SEIU Local 1000, and I'm calling to thank Mr. Lockyer for not honoring the governor's mandate to furlough our state workers.
And Bill, in 20 seconds, why are you refusing to furlough state workers?
I don't think the governor has the authority to do that. Not just with independently elected officials like the AG or Lieutenant Governor or me. Everyone except Poizner, a fellow Republican, has refused to honor the furloughs, simply saying you don't have the authority. If the legislature does it and imposes it on us, then we have to abide. But we didn't elect a dictator, and he doesn't have that right.
Bill Lockyer, thank you very much. One listener in Sacramento wants a California version of change.gov, where citizens could make suggestions and follow issues. So take that under advisement.
Good idea.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Bill. We'll
Peter.
Talk again. Bye-bye. State Treasurer Bill Lockyer, not Locklear.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Barack Obama's Treasury nominee has a tax problem.
These errors were not intentional. They're honest mistakes.
Harry Reid says Mr. Obama will get the TARP money.
Do I have the votes? I think we will get the necessary votes, yes.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Timothy Geithner, nominated to be the next Treasury Secretary, met with members of the Senate Finance Committee today to talk about an issue that came up during the vetting process. From 2001 to 2004, he failed to pay $34,000 in self-employment taxes from his work with the International Monetary Fund. Geithner says he didn't realize he had to pay, and neither did his accountant. Committee Chairman Max Baucus calls it an honest mistake, and panel member Chuck Schumer says this will not derail the nomination.
My view is these mistakes are not at all disqualifying. I think we need a Treasury Secretary, and I hope we can have the hearing and confirm him. Many of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle expressed similar views.
Secretary of State-designate Hillary Clinton had her confirmation hearing today.
Though there were some questions about her husband's overseas fundraising for charity, it was mostly a love fest for Hillary Clinton before the Foreign Relations Committee, now chaired by John Kerry.
In Senator Clinton, we have a nominee who is extraordinarily capable.
Clinton said the new Obama administration would use what she calls smart power, a better balance between diplomacy and military might, with more emphasis on talking.
Diplomacy is hard work. But when we work hard, diplomacy can work.
The committee's expected to vote its approval Thursday, clearing the way for Senate confirmation for Clinton as soon as Barack Obama is sworn in next week. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles, and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I'd always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
The president-elect joined Senate Democrats for lunch today, lobbying for congressional approval to use the second half of the $700 billion TARP fund. Majority Leader Harry Reid says they were reassured that not all the money will go to banks.
It's very clear that there's going to be a lot of money spent to help the housing industry. This is money that is so important to bring about growth in cities and counties and communities all over America.
Reid says the votes are there. It's not just celebrities who have stalkers. A federal study finds that every year millions of Americans are stalking victims. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis reports.
The Office of Violence Against Women in the Justice Department commissioned the study, which is described as the largest data collection to date. A common pattern emerges among the 3.4 million people who reported being stalked. Most of the victims knew their stalker, and almost all felt fear. In 10% of the cases, they worried they would be killed. Many victims describe a life of going to court, getting restraining orders, and losing their jobs and paychecks.
Michelle Archer of the victims group Safe Horizon says she was stalked by an ex-boyfriend.
He would sit outside my door for days on end waiting for me. Sometimes he would have access to my building and sit inside the apartment building in the stairwell waiting for me. I would be followed to work, followed to the laundromat, followed if I was going out with my friends.
Archer says it's validating to learn that so many other people have had similar experiences. More evidence today that the Justice Department was politicized under Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. A report from the department's inspector general says Bradley Schlossman, former acting head of the Civil Rights Division, violated civil service law by giving important cases to conservative lawyers and sidelining those he considered libs or pinkos. Schlossman circulated an email joke about a former head of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission in which the writer said he liked his coffee Mary Frances Berry style, black and bitter.
I am black. I don't know how bitter I am.
Berry says she is bitter that the government's civil rights enforcers were undermining the law. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
OfficeMax believes that in this economy, small businesses should get all the perks that big businesses get, which is why we're calling small businesses like Zuma J's Surfboards.
Zuma J.
Hi, I'm calling from OfficeMax, and we want to give you your own national radio commercial right now.
Okay, that's terrific, but I've got a whole store full of customers that want to buy stuff.
Well, you are on the radio right now. Can you just tell us in 30 seconds why you think Zuma J's is the best surf shop in Malibu?
The Zuma J's is the best surf shop in Malibu because it carries hardcore goods for hardcore surfers. No skateboards, no snowboards. Rip, shred, and tear. Zuma J shreds L.A. Buy a board. Don't delay.
Great. Awesome. Okay, so what if I want to buy a skimboard?
Skimboards, we got them.
Small businesses, join the Max Perks Rewards Program at OfficeMax, and you'll earn rewards that can be redeemed like cash. And right now, OfficeMax will give you 25% bonus rewards when you use your Max Perks card on big brands like Sharpie, Avery, and Post-its. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Promotion ends January 31st.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, investigative reporter Jason Leopold checks in with the story of John Conyers. He wants to do some investigating. But this half hour, we want to say bye-bye to Elaine Chao.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces.
Yes, smiling. Most of you probably don't know who she is, but Elaine Chao has been serving for almost 8 years as Secretary of Labor. Conveniently, she is also known as Mrs. Mitch McConnell. And as Bush and Cheney make their round of exit interviews, we'll play some of Bush's farewell press conference later today. I understand that the only outlet interested in Elaine Chao was called Brutal Employers Weekly. And I haven't seen the transcript yet. Joining us right now is the president of the labor union called Unite Here! Exclamation point. It's Bruce Rayner, the general president. Welcome back, Bruce.
Hey, Peter. Good to be back.
And are you throwing a farewell party for Elaine?
Well, you know, Elaine Chao has been somebody who has done more to hurt working people in her 8 years as Secretary of Labor than any Secretary of Labor in the history of the country. The only thing I felt better about seeing her walk out the door is that we should have changed the name while she was there and made it Secretary of Business, which is what she did, in helping it to exploit labor.
Yeah, maybe Secretary of Corporate Exploitation.
There you go. That's a title, you know. Maybe we still have time, but I think she has another day or two left, doesn't she?
And Bruce, let's just tick off some of the things that she did. She authorized a memo to employers to give them advice on how to beat paying overtime to their employees. That's what a Secretary of Labor is really supposed to do, right?
Well, she did that. That was one of her outrageous things. But in 8 years, she promulgated one new safety rule to protect workers when literally there should have been thousands of rules involving exposure to poisonous substances and ergonomically dangerous job studies that hurt workers for life just for the fact that they went to work on repetitive motion jobs all over our economy. She did, in her entire 8 years, one new standard. She helped employers evade safety and health standards for workers. She decreased the number of inspectors who were investigating failure to pay overtime, failure to pay minimum wage, failure to compensate workers for all the hours they worked, and increase the number of inspectors to harass labor unions to try to weaken us. She created more new regulations onerous on unions than all the secretaries of labor in the history of the country up to the time she took office. So now, she really has quite a few firsts.
And on that score, Bruce, help me out here, but I remember there's something called an M25 or something like that. It's a form where I used to serve on the national board of my union, AFTRA. And at one point, I think it was in 2002, we received a memo that said that any time we, for example, went to lunch with a so-called employer, that we had to file a report on that with the Department of Labor. And given that our members and our staff people meet regularly with the producers and directors and, you know, the executives from networks and film studios, this created a mountain of paperwork for my union alone. Is that measure still in effect?
Oh, absolutely, and they've added many more to it. But, you know, Peter, the paperwork was nuisance and expensive for unions, which is what it was designed to do. But what they were really doing was trying to got you. Because if one receipt is lost, if someone forgets to put down they had a cup of coffee and a donut with an employer, gets to put it down, got you. You broke the law. And it was a way to intimidate unions from being able to operate their business. After all, the normal course of doing business, unions represent workers against employers. So your job is to deal with the employers on behalf of workers. That's what we are. And so it was really designed to play gotcha. And, of course, strain our resources and our energy, but really to catch us in making sloppy mistakes or failing to do it. And many unions, AFTRA is a union where you have mostly professional people, but just think about unions in small factories or kitchens where you've got seven people working and one guy is the head of the union, and he's flipping hamburgers and making $12 an hour and doing the best he can to represent his fellow workers, and he's got to fill out forms like an accountant. So it really does, it was an effort to take unions away from workers. It was very carefully designed, and it hurt us.
Yeah. Now, I was thrilled when Obama named Hilda Solis. She served in the legislature here in California, rose to the level of state senator, and then jumped into that congressional seat when it opened up. And I really think she has the best credentials for the job, and it doesn't hurt that she is a Latina.
Well, Peter, I have to say, in the history, the first Secretary of Labor The first woman Secretary of Labor was Frances Perkins, appointed by Franklin Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Frances Perkins was from New York. She was a social activist. I would say Hilda Solis is the choice of Secretary of Labor ever, including Frances Perkins, who was the first woman in the 30s. And the reason is, I mean, she's a daughter of an immigrant. She totally understands the immigrant experience in America, which is the experience of most of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
She understands, it was a Teamster shop steward, so she totally understands the needs and the problems that working families have. We actually have a Secretary of Labor that knows what it is to pay a light bill, to try to figure out how to stay in your house and how to keep your job and how to keep health care. She's a compassionate person, very bright, very accomplished. You may remember she was an activist when they discovered those garment workers held prisoner in El Monte, California.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
She's the person who led the expose of that. She's been on picket lines. She's been an advocate for workers in the legislature in California, in Congress of the United States, and we couldn't be happier. I think she's the best choice of any Secretary of Labor. We're very excited about her. And the other great thing is that she is someone whose views, he's not sneaking her in. Everyone knows what Hilda Solis thinks
right.
about things
yeah.
and what her values are, which is great.
My only disappointment was he paired that with Ron Kirk as the trade representative, and he's a corporatist, former mayor, of Dallas, and Javier Becerra, a great progressive congressman from Southern California, was in the field for that post, and I think that would have been a real great 1-2 combination.
That certainly would have been, and we were very excited when we thought that that might happen. But, you know, the best thing about the Obama administration, Peter, is going to be, in my opinion, Obama. And President-elect Obama, soon we'll be able to say President Obama, you know, we've got to count on him to understand that as you see the demise of hundreds of thousands of auto jobs in this country, that if we don't rebuild our industrial base, every other country in the world protects its manufacturing workers and its industries except us. And I think Obama really understands that. I assume all the people in the administration, while appointed to do their jobs, are also going to follow the policies of the president. So he's the one we're counting on to help restore manufacturing in this country, because we cannot have a middle-class economic recovery without supporting, you know, thousands of manufacturing jobs. You need to create value. Mm-hmm. And manufacturing jobs are one of the ways we have done that in this country, and create good, high-paying jobs. The other way is to pass free choice and let us organize workers again in America at a large scale, and then raise the jobs of restaurant workers and nursing home workers and laundry workers to be middle-class jobs because they're in union.
Yeah.
So that's the 1-2 punch that will give us a full economic recovery and a middle class in this country again.
Bruce Rayner is president of Unite Here, the labor union. And if you have a question or comment, or if you're a member of Unite Here, call up and talk to your president. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. I support the Employee Free Choice Act, and in some ways it's amusing the way the corporatists and their right-wing political lackeys like to make this out that it's some issue about a secret ballot. And what it's really about is permitting workers to organize with less interference from management. We see this time and again, where management will peel off a couple of people by giving them raises or promoting them into phony management jobs. There are all different kinds of tactics available to the employers. But this is an important step to allow people to organize without calling a secret election in many cases. And that certainly favors workers, and that's why the Chamber of Commerce and some of these phony groups like the Coalition for a Democratic Workplace and the Workforce Fairness Institute have sprouted up out of the AstroTurf in Washington.
Well, it's amazing, Peter. But, you know, when people like Walmart and Cintas come up and concerned about workers' rights when they have their entire workforce is living in poverty, only a cynic would believe that these people care at all about. This is not, as you said, not about secret ballot. These are cynical people. It's about low wages and lack benefits and employers being able to make work do whatever it is they want, and if you don't like it, hit the door. And the thing, you know, you were right, of course, about all the tactics open to employers, but this set of tactics that work that stop these elections from being successful, which is unions don't do these so-called elections anymore, is because the employer would intimidate people, fire them, and scare them and threaten their jobs. That working people have no savings. They're living week to week. They can't afford to their jobs, and that tactic works. And so what this Free Choice Act would do is permit workers on a large scale to join unions. Join the Republican Party. I can join the Ku Klux Klan by signing the card. Why can't I join a union that our law gives me the right to join that advances my self-interest by signing the same card? You know, all these credit card companies got a lot of Americans in trouble by getting them to sign cards, but they don't want us to be able to join unions by signing a card. It's a cynical attempt by business to keep workers poor, and we're going to win this fight.
Bruce Rayner, president of Unite Here. Their website, unitehere.org. Check it out. There's a lot of good information there. We'll take a break and return. You can join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation.
Is being preempted by sports programming on Saturdays.
This month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the Internet.
So tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
On AM 540 KRXA.
We all know the economy's experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one-stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader, Rinaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on southbound 1 on the westbound off-ramp, we have a traffic collision. And on County Road G20, just east of County Road G16, we've got a disabled white Volvo in the road. CHP is on the way there. Jumping up to Santa Cruz, there's a traffic hazard on Tiburon Court at Provincetown Court. A car park is blocking the lane. And weather, we're having another gorgeous, magnificent day. I hope everybody's enjoying it. We've got lots of sunny skies today all over the coast and inland. Right now it's 79 in Monterey. Salinas and Santa Cruz are both 76 degrees. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a terrific afternoon, and the Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
On the Peter B. Collins Show.
This job and chubby. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for.
We're talking with Bruce Rayner, General President of the Labor Union Unite Here. Add the exclamation point, please. And, Bruce, we've had some minor victories, at least recently, despite the draconian tactics of the Labor Department and the Bush administration. At Republic Windows and Doors in Chicago, the whole nation really focused on the plight of those workers who were locked out and their rights were not honored. And ultimately, Bank of America caved. Rod Blagojevich showed that there is some humanity in there. And the workers at least got their severance pay and some semblance of respect for the work that they had done for that company.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was a, I agree with you, Peter. It's a small victory, but a significant one, because I don't know when the last time we've seen workers occupy a factory. I think it showed, two things that were significant to me. Number one, working people really are fed up after 8 years of the Bush administration. The corporate people screwed up our economy, hurt workers across the board. And it's not just that the public's fed up, workers are fed up. And to take over a factory and put yourself on the line like that, we haven't seen that in a long time. And the second thing is, general public sided with these guys.
Well, and
there's no sympathy with the banks and the employer.
The other important development, Bruce, is that it forced the corporate media to cover labor, and they don't want to do that. They've gone to great lengths to disband any labor coverage, and they like to talk about consumers. Occasionally they'll talk about workers, but, you know, they avoid organized labor, and this really forced the issue.
Well, that did, but I'll tell you the other one that, Peter, that really should have inspired my Christmas and New Year's.
Smithfield.
Was a tremendous victory at Smithfield.
Yeah.
Wasn't that exciting?
Yeah, it really is. How many years have they been militating there?
15 years.
Wow.
And a part of North Carolina, I worked in North Carolina for 20 years. I was in the South, and that part of North Carolina is most anti-union, poorest place I've ever worked in. And the fact that they united African-American workers, Latino workers, white workers, and Lumbee Indian workers into a victory against the largest employer, private employer in the state of North Carolina. After all those years of intimidation, beatings, I mean, this is one of the most brutal workplaces we've ever seen. Health and safety conditions that really come from that book, The Jungle. A modern-day version of the jungle, or even worse than the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And yet those workers stood together, and it shows, Peter, that, you know, when they tried to organize unions under the current laws, it was unsuccessful. It was only when they made an agreement that allowed, that forced the company to stay out of the process, and not completely, but for the company to have its hands somewhat tied as to what tactics were open to that the workers turned around and voted for a union. And actually, it's just thrilling, because no workers needed a union more than those people. It's also a great victory in a very anti-union state, North Carolina and the Southeast.
We call that,
and
the,
it also showed workers stick together across racial lines. That company had done a lot of work to divide workers along racial lines.
Yeah, and your point about North Carolina, it's one of the so-called right-to-work states, and we call that the right to work for less.
That's right. That's right. And then, you know, I noticed, Peter, that now your show is on in Boston.
That's right.
And, you know, just it made me reminded me that also right before Christmas, not as big as Smithfield, but in Worcester, Massachusetts, in the largest laundry in the state of Massachusetts, right before Christmas, 220 Latino workers who have been trying to get a union at that laundry for 5 years, again, only because the union was able to get that employer. It was a company called Angelica, the largest healthcare laundry company in America. They have laundries in the San Francisco area that are union.
Mm-hmm.
That laundry was non-union, and we were able to force them to an agreement that allowed the workers the right to have a union campaign without the company's interference, and those workers won 2-1 and voted in a union in Worcester, which is not far from your new audience in Boston.
Right. Well, that's great news, and thanks for sharing that with us, Bruce. And I thank you for all the work that you do. We've got some hope, but we've got a lot of work to continue to do to just rectify the damage that's been done in recent years and move forward on a progressive approach. I know you're one of those leaders who's ready and willing to take up these efforts, and I want to invite you to join us for our special inaugural coverage on Tuesday, because one of the things we want to do is put progressive voices forward with the agenda for the Obama administration, and I'd certainly like to include you in that.
Oh, I'd love to do it, Peter, and I thank you for continuing to be a strong voice of independent media that speaks out for the rights of all people in society, not just the people that have the money and power.
Bruce Rayner, Unite Here. Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
When Vapo Rub attacks, this is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The big health story today is that according to Chest Magazine, yes, even the upper torso now has its own magazine, Vicks Vapo Rub does not reduce mucus, it actually creates more. And you're wondering, Vapo Rub has been around since 1891. In fact, I believe that the tin in our medicine chest was literally made in 1891. Why has it taken so long to find this out? And why attack Vapo Rub? Because I can tell you, those of us who grew up in the 50s with Italian grandmothers believe that Vicks Vapo Rub saved the life of every child with a cold. Well, Dr. Bruce Rubin of Wake Forest University says that he got suspicious after an 18-month-old girl was brought to the emergency room by her grandparents right after they put Vapo Rub under her nose. The doctors found that removing the Vapo Rub made the child better. He double-checked by testing Vapo Rub on ferrets, and sure enough, the ferrets had 14% more mucus with the Vapo Rub. Conclusion, don't use it on children under 2. Of course, the label already says, don't use it on children under 2. The wider implication is that Vapo Rub doesn't do anybody any good. But here's the problem. It's 2009, and doctors still can't cure a cold. They can transplant most of your internal organs, but a cold eludes them. So your average grandmother, left with a sniffly kid, is going to use Vapo Rub, because what the doctors don't get is that to grandmothers, the more mucus, the better. It gives the grandmother a reason to make you blow your nose, which is always good, along with blankets and reassurance about what a brave little boy you are. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Your investment.
custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Mixer Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Jason Leopold joins us now, shaking it just like a Polaroid picture. He, of course, is the intrepid investigative reporter who's been a contributor to this program for many years now. He was over at Truthout, before that Dow Jones, the L.A. Times, and now he leads the charge at the nonprofit investigative journalism site, The Public Record. Their web address is simple, pubrecord.org. Jason, how you doing? Oh, I know. I didn't. Hold on, Jason. It's an operator error here. I had the fader up, but I hadn't selected your call. Hi.
Hey, happy New Year, Peter.
It's the dangers of having your humble host run the equipment, you know?
It's good to be with you.
How you doing?
Good. It's funny. I was just thinking about that. We are, we've been on the show now for 3 years.
Yeah, I think that's right.
3 years.
Yeah.
Time doesn't go by fast.
Well, and
a lot has happened in those 3 years, Peter.
You made a lot of contributions, and I missed you last week. You had to go on a reporting assignment, and you broke a big story about John Conyers. You were the site that I saw first in terms of his intention to set up a committee or a commission to investigate Bush Co.
Yes.
And as you know, I wanted impeachment and didn't get it for Christmas or any other holiday.
Right.
And recently, Bruce Fein and Ralph Nader were proposing a censure resolution to at least go on record opposing the misdeeds of these guys. But there's no appetite for that either among the Democrats or the Hill, and on the Hill, or clearly the incoming president. So
no, there definitely isn't. And but I'll tell you something that I find to be quite fascinating, particularly as it relates to John Conyers, since we're talking about him. Just about an hour ago, I published a report that is based on a doorstop of a report that John Conyers had issued today. This is a 500-page report that you know, goes into the Bush administration's past abuses, everything from you know, domestic surveillance, the Valerie Plame leak, pre-war Iraq intelligence. Conyers has this report is the clearest sign yet that particularly Conyers will not you know, move forward as Obama had said over the weekend without first taking you know, a look backward. And you know, since you were just talking about impeachment, what I found interesting is, you know, what he had mentioned in this report with regard to impeachment and how, you know, he was called a traitor for not supporting it. You know, it's interesting. he just didn't think that, you know, the votes would come up for it. But he does say in this report that there is no doubt that this administration, that Bush and Cheney, have committed impeachable offenses. Getting to the sort of the meat of this latest report, which follows on the heels of, you know, the recommendation last week for this blue ribbon panel, mm-hmm. this report is more or less sort of the evidence to support that. And he actually says that he wants to have a independent criminal panel, several of them perhaps, to investigate the Bush administration.
Well, and this is an issue that is fascinating. Bob Furtick, Democrats.com, after Downing Street, he's
right.
in cahoots with David Swanson and a lot of other great progressives. He was on the show yesterday, and he's the one who authored the post at Change.gov, the Obama transition site, calling for Patrick Fitzgerald. And you and I would quibble with the choice, but he has the public image as this uncorruptible, prosecutor who will go after anybody.
Right.
And that's why Furtick chose him, at least as an example. But Furtick's calling for a special prosecutor and argues that that would be the least political approach to dealing with this, because anything that involves Democrats in Congress or even Democrats on some so-called separate commission will be seen as a partisan witch hunt, or at least it'll be mischaracterized as that by the right-wing attack machine.
And
what I said to Furtick was, I prefer David Iglesias.
That's actually, that's a fantastic choice.
And so I would love to see a special prosecutor, David Iglesias, or someone with that profile, who would take these issues on. And either Fitzgerald or Iglesias, at least as a Republican, so would not come across as a purely political effort.
Right.
And there is so much information out there. And Jason, I think you've heard this clip before, but I just want to share this with some of our new listeners in Boston, because this is Nancy Pelosi. As recently as late October, when Cindy Sheehan, who ran against her for her congressional seat in San Francisco, was given an itty-bitty opportunity on the public radio station, KQED, to ask one question of Nancy Pelosi. And Pelosi's answer to me was condescending and insulting, not only to Sheehan, but also to me.
The issue of impeachment is a very controversial one in my own caucus and certainly in the country. The idea that if we disagree with the president, we should begin impeachment proceedings is one that is, again, controversial.
And I just have to stop there. Nobody suggests...
That is such an answer. Wow.
Yeah, nobody suggests that impeachment is based on disagreeing with a president.
There are those who believe they have the evidence that the president would be convicted if impeached. I don't know that we have seen that.
Ouch! Now, Bush and Cheney have supplied the first-person testimony about their own guilt just in the last 2 weeks, and they wouldn't have done it if they had any sense that the Democrats would come after them either before or after they leave office.
Yeah.
And this kind of passing it off, saying, oh, too controversial, that political witch hunt, it's just so bogus. And now we are hearing, Jason, based on this model, that Obama is telling people like Barney Frank not to ask too many questions about what happened to the first $350 billion of the TARP money.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. Are we all going to just get what's the thing from Men in Black where they neuralize? Are we all getting neuralized here, and we just selectively forget?
Exactly, and I think that's we have become so desensitized to the numbers game here. $350 billion. It doesn't even have any impact anymore because it's been said over and over again. As if everyone has that sort of change in their pocket. To even say not to ask any questions is criminal in its own right.
Yeah.
I mean that's outrageous. I mean we're talking about again, the saddling U.S. taxpayers with more debt. In addition to that, by the way, let me just say that the Pentagon is just a couple of weeks away from asking for another $150 billion, which will bring the cost of this war up to about a trillion, officially $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And, There are statements being made about the, you know, don't ask about what happened to that $9 billion. Don't ask about the, you know, the $100 billion in waste. Just, you know, move forward. So this whole notion of, you know, let's sweep it all under the rug, you know, as the cliche goes, is just, is wrong. And, you know, I really would urge people to, you know, take a look at this this latest report by John Conyers. And while, you know, the knee-jerk response from some folks may be, oh, so now Conyers wants to investigate. Well, you know, he clearly does. Here's the problem. You know, you mentioned Nancy Pelosi. The bill that he introduced last week is so far only have, unless it's changed, you know, within the past 24 hours, only has about 10 co-sponsors. Mm. You know, this is something that should have a lot more support, by especially by Democrats, than what it has thus far. I mean,
well, and here's one. Sheldon Whitehouse is the Democratic senator from Rhode Island. He's a former U.S. attorney.
Right.
And he says, in regard to Obama, he said, I appreciate that President Obama doesn't want to make it his purpose as a new president with America in real distress to go back and look at all this, but I think we in Congress have an independent responsibility, and I fully intend to discharge that responsibility. You go, Sheldon.
Yeah, I believe he made that statement sometime today.
Yeah.
And you know, this is sort of what I had been saying, you know, prior to the election. I think that it's abundantly clear that Obama is a much better choice than John McCain, and he certainly will be, you know, much more respectful of the, you know, the Constitution and presidential powers than George Bush. However, he is still a politician, and the moves that he is making or that he has indicated that he will make are thus far, you know, quite political. I think that you know, one of the things that Conyers had mentioned in this report is that we still don't know the role that Bush and Cheney played in the leak of Valerie Plame's identity. You know, that's something that he actually wants, you know, this investigation to find out. So, you know, I think that there is a real move among Democrats, forget Republicans right now, Peter. There's among, like, you know, the heavy hitter folks in the Democratic Party, the leadership, to actually, you know, sweep this under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you do have people like, you know, Conyers coming out, and he has a sort of a, you know, it's somewhat of an about face. From his stance last year, specifically with, you know, regard to Dennis Kucinich's impeachment article, still, you know, I think that it is the right time, you know, to investigate it, and it's something that should have a lot of support. But it's the Democrats that you know, are the big problem right now.
And Jason, here's something interesting. I'm going to see if I can get this sound clip to play, but Bill Bennett, the compulsive gambler and right-wing radio host now, former education czar, he has a radio show, and Dick Cheney came on because it's such a hostile environment. And they were just discussing the formerly illegal wiretapping of American citizens and American phone calls and emails. Cheney called the program important, adding that he was always aggravated that the New York Times...
I think it's a combination.
This is going to be a bad clip, but we'll play it anyway. That the New York Times won two Pulitzers for exposing what was then an illegal program. And here's what Cheney had to say.
Of those things, Bill. The... we get into the whole area, for example, the terrorist surveillance program.
Right. The perfect example.
Great example. Important program, allows us to intercept communications from terrorists coming into the United States. And a program we put in place using presidential authority. And it's worked. It's really given us some very, very good intelligence. Well, certain key members of Congress were briefed on that program from the very beginning. I used to preside over those briefings in my office. Chairman and ranking member of the House and Senate on the intelligence committees, for example, on one occasion, the entire congressional leadership down in the Situation Room in the West Wing. What happened then was they had the information we had, they knew how we were doing it, they knew what we were producing through that process. But then when Nancy Pelosi, for example, was part of the group, But then it became public. The New York Times broke the story in December of 2005 with the Pulitzer for it, which always aggravated me.
Absolutely. So notice the way he loops Nancy Pelosi in there.
Right.
And raises a lot of questions, particularly among progressives who feel that she did not have to remain complicit after being briefed on this. Because, and I've asked legal authorities about this, the oath that they take to protect and defend the Constitution supersedes any secrecy agreement that they make for a top secret clearance or other security clearances that are required for them to be briefed in the manner that Cheney briefed them. And so Jay Rockefeller, Nancy Pelosi, and others who were briefed on these illegal programs did not have to remain silent. They chose to.
Right, exactly. And by the way, let me just add that, so what? So what they were briefed on it? You know, the fact is that, you know, if they were, they didn't write the legal memos, and I'm certainly not going to, I'm not defending them by any means. In fact, I think that if they, you know, if they knew the full details of this, which I do not, you know, entirely believe, then they should be taken to task for it as well, and let that come out during any sort of investigation. But it's quite interesting because, you know, you have, I reported yesterday about, you know, Obama sort of waffling on this prosecution or even an investigation. You know, the Wall Street Journal last week, the editorial page, literally, took what they had said about warning. They issued this warning to Leon Panetta, Obama, not to launch any sort of investigation. And they actually used the exact same wording as Dick Cheney used. Let me just also, remind people that during the leak of Valerie Plame's identity, that it came out that, you know, Paul Wolfowitz had issued the Wall Street Journal a set of talking points, which they printed verbatim as a way to go after Joe Wilson.
That was even before Murdoch bought it.
Exactly.
We'll take a break. I'm sorry. We'll pick up there as we continue. Jason Leopold with us. Read his work at Pub Record, the public record. That's pubrecord.org. You can share a podcast of this portion of the program or any other part of the show with a friend or even a stranger. Just log on to my website. The links are right there on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on Highway 156 at Vieira Canyon Road, we have a traffic collision with no further details. And on the southbound one at westbound 68, we've got another collision with no injuries. Also on County Road G16 at Davis Drive, we have a collision with no injuries. And on the northbound 101 at Gould Road, we have a traffic hazard there. We've got a disabled vehicle in the roadway. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have a hazard on Tiburon Court at Provincetown Court. There's some car parts blocking the lane. Moving over to Hollister-Gilroy on the northbound 101, just south of Highway 25, we have a pedestrian walking southbound in the northbound center divider, so watch out for him. Have a great afternoon. That's your traffic on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Cheerful goodbye to another loyal Bushy. Can you say Bradley Schlossman? It was only the camera angles at his Senate testimony that prevented you from seeing that Bradley Schlossman's pants were actually on fire. Jason Leopold with us from pubrecord.org. And I couldn't pass on this one because I saw it on your site. And we're all going to forget about Bradley Schlossman in the next 20 minutes, perhaps. But before we do, why is this important, Jason, that the Inspector General at Justice is reporting that Bradley Schlossman lied to a Senate committee?
Yeah, well, first of all, not only that, I mean, he was the head of the Civil Rights Division. Civil Rights Division. I mean, the guy trampled upon, you know, civil rights. This report is just unbelievable, the things that he did. You know, he lied to the Senate committee about whether or not he used a political litmus test to hire and fire career attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the report found that even after, when he tried to amend his testimony, that he also lied.
Really?
It's pretty unbelievable.
Now, Monica Goodling didn't appear to lie. She said, well, sure, we did all kinds of things to check out and make sure these people were, you know, against abortion and in favor of God and graduates of Regent University.
Well, Peter, you'll find this kind of for a good laugh. You know, I don't think that I've actually heard, you know, anyone under the 80, you know, use the word pinko or commie.
Mm-hmm.
But Bradley Schlossman really enjoyed using that to refer to, you know, liberals, that they were pinkos and commies at the Justice Department.
Well, here I am.
and, you know, he gave cases to, you know, prosecutors and attorneys that had that he felt shared his conservative beliefs. The big thing that's quite important here is that this matter, this report, let me just say, was actually finished last July.
No.
This was a report that was already last July.
It got stuck on Addington's desk.
No, what actually happened is that the Inspector General of the Justice Department referred this case to the U.S. Attorney in Washington D.C. As a criminal matter. This was actually referred. A criminal referral was made, you know, as a result of perjury, perjuring himself before Senate and you know, numerous federal law violations. But what happened was is that a grand jury started to investigate. Subpoenas were issued. The U.S. attorney, by the way, the U.S. attorney there was Jeffrey Taylor, who also has his own sort of, you know, involvement with all this, but he recused himself. But the U.S. attorney, just last Friday, after spending, you know, having this report being, they sat on it, just last Friday said, nah, we're not going to bother prosecuting him. So there was actually enough evidence to prosecute him. Even though, you know, you'll get the lies versus the perjury, it's very difficult to make a perjury case. They decided to, you know, not to follow through.
Hmm.
So this is, you know, one of the last This is how the Bush administration goes out the door. I mean,
well, and once again, this could have led to Karl Rove. It could have led
absolutely.
To exposure of the U.S. attorney, politicization,
yeah.
and the way that they were controlled from Washington.
Well, you know, by the way, speaking of Karl Rove, you know, the House passed some rules last week that basically revived subpoenas that were issued during the 110th Congress.
Hmm.
And you know, Karl Rove obviously is one of those individuals, and
so it extends the shelf life.
It does. In fact, Karl Rove, Harriet Myers, and Josh Bolton, you know, those are three individuals that were subpoenaed, and you can bet that they're going to, you know, continue to go after them. In addition to that, today a judge, federal judge in D.C. ruled that documents related to the U.S. attorney firing, specifically Myers and Bolton's documents, must be turned over to the Obama administration, instead of being sent to the National Archives or, you know, put in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
There was this fear that if they sent it to the National Archives, it just wouldn't be found. Or, you know,
well,
so before that happens, they have to turn it over.
And if Rove won't sing on Capitol Hill, we should force him to go on American Idol and reprise that act he did at the Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh yeah. We can throw things at them while we're at it.
All right. Thank you very much, Jason. Always great to talk with you.
You too, Peter. Have a good one.
Jason Leopold. Visit his website at pubrecord.org. And if you got extra cash, pass it along. They're doing great work there, and they can use your help. Coming up next, crime in Washington. We'll talk to Melanie Sloan about that revolving door.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A bump in the road to confirmation for one of Barack Obama's cabinet picks, CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
Treasury Secretary nominee Timothy Geithner, the man who would be in charge of the Obama administration's economic recovery plan, failed to pay about $34,000 in taxes between 2001 and 2004 and briefly employed a housekeeper whose immigration papers had expired. President-elect Obama is standing by him, a spokesman describing the errors as honest mistakes that were quickly addressed. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid agrees.
There's a few little hiccups, but that's basically what they are. I am not concerned at all.
But some Senate Republicans say it's too early to say if Geithner's errors are nothing to worry about and intend to question him at his confirmation hearing.
Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus hopes to hold that hearing Friday. Hillary Clinton's confirmation hearing was today.
President-elect and I believe that foreign policy must be based on a marriage of principles and pragmatism, not rigid ideology. On facts and evidence, not emotion or prejudice.
If she becomes Secretary of State, Clinton said her husband's global fundraising would not create a conflict of interest.
I don't know who will be giving money. That will not influence. It will not be in the atmosphere. When the disclosure occurs, obviously it will be after the fact. So it would be hard to make an argument that it influenced anybody because we didn't know about it.
Senate Democrats had a meeting today with President-elect Obama. Afterward, Majority Leader Reid said he has the votes to authorize spending the second half of the TARP fund.
I think all of us felt very, very good that we're going to work with the President-elect on this issue and those in the future to bring the country out of the deep hole it finds itself in from an economic perspective.
A report out today says the credit system is beginning to thaw. Companies are finding it easier to issue commercial paper for their short-term cash needs, and they're selling bonds at a pace that hasn't been seen since last spring. The Justice Department's Inspector General has turned up new evidence of political abuses under Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has details.
The Inspector General's investigation uncovered some of the most shocking emails yet stemming from the U.S. Attorney firings. This probe focused on the actions of Bradley Schlossman, who occupied a critical position as chief of the Civil Rights Division. Schlossman's mission, he said, was to purge the division of, quote, pinko and commie attorneys and to hire conservative lawyers, whom he called RTAs, right-thinking Americans.
Schlossman is now in private practice. It's an Arctic cold wave in the Midwest with single-digit temperatures as far south as Kansas and Missouri. At a gas station in Halleck, Minnesota, the pumps froze when it got down to 38 below. The stock market lost some ground today. The Dow Industrial is down 25 points to 84.48. This is CBS News.
Are you a technology professional looking for a new job? Stop wasting time on general job sites, sifting through listings that are not relevant to you. Go to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Go to Dice.com to find tens of thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, system administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The owls are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah with Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
A week before President Bush leaves office, an award ceremony at the White House. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
It was a chance for President Bush to pay a parting tribute to three of the foreign leaders he most admires. He bestowed Presidential Medals of Freedom on former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, former Australian Prime Minister John Howard, and the President of Colombia, Alvaro Uribe.
They're the sort of guys who look you in the eye and tell you the truth and keep their word.
Blair and Howard were especially important to President Bush as stalwart supporters of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
Paul Reed, who's 71 years old, services flagpoles. He was working on a 105-foot pole at a car dealership in Henrico County, Virginia, when his rigging slipped. He dangled for 20 minutes before being rescued by firefighters. Reed says he still plans to keep climbing till he's 75. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles, and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I'd always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Workers have been busy in Washington looping up the revolving doors to make an easy exit for Republicans leaving the government and heading over to K Street to lobby it up.
She's in superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition, that girl's gonna make me fall. She's chips, new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She makes you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain.
Yeah, they've been suffering, getting by on $100,000 or more a year. They're ready for La Vida Loca. And Melanie Sloan joins us from CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Happy New Year, Melanie. Welcome.
Hi. Happy New Year to you, too, Peter. Nice to be back.
Well, it's great to talk with you, and you folks at CREW have been busy. How long did it take you to compile this report about the revolving door?
It actually took many months. A lot of this information isn't as easy to find as you might think. You have to dig through looking for press releases from corporations and other sources, so it takes quite a while.
Mm-hmm. And how many people worked on this project?
We had about four people working on it.
Mm-hmm. Great. So I'm looking at the exhibits page here, which lists a bunch of people who worked in the Bush administration. And I'm not going to make this a memory test for you because I've got the links here. So to, you know, and any prompting that you need, I understand, because this is an incredible list. How many people did you identify who either have or will use that revolving door, you know, take the benefits of their government appointment and head into probably the sector that they were regulating just a few weeks or months ago?
Right. Well, I can't tell you who's going to be doing it because you can bet that there are more than we know right now. But we looked at 24 different cabinet officials, and we found that 17 of those now hold positions with a total of 119 companies. 17 of those also hold positions with 65 companies that lobby the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important number here is that 15 former officials hold positions with 40 companies that lobby those officials' former agencies.
Wow. And I don't see here, I haven't read the whole report, but did you even try to enumerate how much money they're making in the process?
Yeah, that's really not information that we can find.
Yeah.
We know that five officials founded lobbying firms, and we know that the person who seems to have brought in the most money is Tommy Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually know a lot more about Tommy Thompson, who's the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, than we do about other members of the cabinet, and that is because Mr. Thompson ran for president, and so he had to file financial disclosure forms.
Oh.
One really big issue is that once these folks go into private practice and join the private sector, they don't have to tell us what they do, and so it's only because Mr. Thompson had to file these disclosure forms that we know that, in fact, he's associated with 42 different companies, 30 of which, by the way, are in the healthcare industry.
Mm, wow.
And one of the things that I want to highlight is we know that this is actually works to the detriment of the American people and is in these kind of companies' interest because one of the companies for which Mr. Thompson went to work, the head of it, the founder and chairman of a company named Logistics Health, was just indiscreet enough to admit the truth. He said, "Tommy really is able to get us in to see the right people, the decision makers. If I were to go in to try and get a meeting with some of the decision makers in these organizations, it would take me a lifetime. But Mr. Thompson, he can get me in there."
Wow. That's amazing. Now let's take a look at the two former attorneys general. First of all, John Ashcroft served one term, and my estimation of him has improved a little bit because he at least put up a fight in the hospital bed and didn't want to reauthorize the illegal wiretapping.
It's
but
scary, though, to think about John Ashcroft as the protector of our civil liberties.
Yeah, but he's become a lobbyist and doing pretty well.
Doing terrifically well. He has, I think it's a dubious distinction of being the first attorney general in history to start a lobbying firm. And he founded the Ashcroft Group, which operates as a lobbying firm and equity partner for a variety of companies, which is heavily involved in Homeland Security and DOJ contracting. He also got a lot of scrutiny last year when he received a $52 million contract from the Department of Justice when the U.S. attorney from New Jersey had hired the Ashcroft Group to monitor a medical company that had taken a deal in a kickback scheme. This seemed like an exorbitant amount of money for a monitoring project. And, of course, Mr. Christie had previously been a very close associate of Mr. Ashcroft, and now such deals are now looked on with disfavor.
But that one seems to be flatly illegal. I mean, isn't that cronyism in a criminal sense?
It does seem to be cronyism, but it's not illegal. I mean, there's been more and more. This is a sort of a separate issue, but there's been more and more of these monitoring deals, which is instead of putting companies out of business like they did Arthur Andersen in the Enron scandal, they are now arranging monitoring deals where the company agrees to pay an outside monitor a huge amount of money to ensure that it doesn't do anything else illegal.
Yeah. Those are, you know, slightly like the self-regulation that we've seen has been so effective in on Wall Street. Now, the other former Attorney General, Alberto Amnesia Gonzalez, has recently been whining that he can't find a job, and he claims it's because of the downturn in the economy.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little more than that, because most of these other cabinet officials also have a downturn in the economy, and they're making out all right.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Gonzalez, who is still under a criminal investigation and has a lot of attorney's fees, he's got civil suits against him, he's had a real trouble getting work. He's given a couple of paid speeches, but he's really reviled across the country, and so he's not getting the kind of deals so many of these others are.
Now, just so we're not completely focused on Republicans, there was one Democrat who served in the Bush administration, and he's a friend of mine. Norm Mineta was the congressman from San Jose for many years, rose to the leadership in the House, and then was named transportation secretary in the Bush administration. And Norm is now a lobbyist, right?
Norm is now a lobbyist, and he, too, has a bunch of clients who mainly are interested in homeland security kind of business. It's, he's not as bad as some, but certainly he's making a lot of money, just like everybody else.
Well, and Hill & Knowlton is a stinky company, I have to say. They snookered me once back in the Gulf War. Do you remember this episode where they paraded around a young Kuwaiti woman who told a false story about Iraqis who came into a hospital and ripped out incubators of preemie babies. And it was
all a lie.
It was completely false, and I was induced by Hill & Knowlton to interview this woman. I didn't believe her, but I couldn't prove that she was wrong. You know, I didn't have a source in Kuwait to come up and say, well, wait a minute, this isn't true. But I will never forget being stung by Hill & Knowlton.
Right, and Hill & Knowlton, no doubt, they had to know.
I think so, yeah. So let's see who else is on this list of infamy. How about Gail Norton, the Secretary of Interior, who has promised never to talk to me again?
Well, lucky you. She's working for Royal Dutch Shell Company, which really, since she was trying to sell the Department of Interior out to all of our public lands out to oil companies before, it only seems fitting that she's now General Counsel for Royal Dutch Shell.
Oh, man. And she came out of that Mountain States Legal Foundation, which is a think tank where resource extractors park before they go into government, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And she's not alone. On energy, another person who has made a lot of money from his time in the energy department is Spencer Abraham. He is now associated with nine different companies involved in energy business. And one thing that he's been able to do is while on the board of Occidental Petroleum, he has Occidental is now the first company in over 20 years to be able to import oil to the United States from Libya.
Mm-hmm. I could go on all night with this, but just one more. Don Rumsfeld, he left as Secretary of Defense. We understood he kept an office there at the Pentagon for many months afterward. What's he up to now?
You know, not as bad as everyone else, truthfully. He's associated with a couple of nonprofits, and he has a book deal for forthcoming memoirs.
What a slacker.
Right. Now, there may be more that we just couldn't find, but if it's there, as I said, we couldn't find it.
Okay. Melanie, I also wanted to ask you to comment on a couple of pay-to-play scandals that have arisen and affect Democrats. Bill Richardson, governor of New Mexico, had to withdraw his name for consideration as commerce secretary, and that involves a California donor to his campaigns who got state contracts. And also a story surfaced that hasn't gotten much attention about Bill and Hillary Clinton, and the senator was on the Hill today working on her confirmation as Secretary of State. But Robert Kongle is a guy who had an interest in a shopping center or some piece of property in upstate New York. And Hillary Clinton inserted some language in a bill that benefited him, and he promptly gave $100,000 to Bill Clinton's foundation. And this is a little different from some of the pay-to-play stories that have surfaced. What's your comment on this?
You know, this is kind of a tricky one. Obviously, this is going to be a very big issue for Hillary Clinton, not just today during her confirmation hearing, but going forward, because first, as we all know, it's nearly impossible to rein in Bill Clinton. And his foundation has also done some really terrific work around the world that all Americans can be proud of. And he's been instrumental in convincing a lot of people to give an awful lot of money to make some pretty great things happen, including, and this is where the biggest problems are for Hillary Clinton, including some foreign governments. But while she was a senator, she was also obviously working on behalf of business interests in New York, but at the same time, some of those business interests were donating to the Clinton Foundation. And there was a time where Mrs. Clinton helped enact legislation for this developer, Robert Kongle, to use tax-exempt bonds to help finance the construction of an entertainment and shopping complex in near Syracuse, New York. And right around the same time that she was pushing this through, the company gave a lot of money, or Mr. Kongle gave a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation. And Mrs. Clinton, by the way, also helped secure a highway bill that set aside $5 million for road construction near this project. Now, the one thing I will say is Mrs. Clinton has said she didn't know anything about it, and that's entirely possible. And it is also true that Chuck Schumer, the other senator from New York, and the Republican congressman from Syracuse, a guy named James Walsh at the time, he's not there now, both also were in favor of this project and asked for the same thing. So it strikes me as something that Hillary Clinton did for business in upstate New York, which is something she's been fighting for quite some time. It's a part of New York that really needs help. And I'm going to take her at her word that she didn't know. But, you know, the more of these things there are, obviously the bigger problem it is going to be for Mrs. Clinton.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Melanie, thanks for the work you're doing, and keep doing it. Even with Democrats in power, we need to control corruption and expose those who step over the line.
Keep doing it.
All right. That's Melanie Sloan at Cruz, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website, citizensforethics.org. We'll take a break and return to your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. You can call me now, toll free, at 888-5-PETER-B.
But she always goes her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner.
KRXA 540, Progressive Park for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Oh, she's a lady, talking about that little lady.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Looking at the northbound 101 just north of 5th Street, there's a large dog in the fast lane. Its owner's trying to get it, so watch out there. Also on County Road G16 at Doris Drive, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. And in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on Graham Hill Road and Mount Hermon Road. There is a disabled vehicle in the left-hand turn lane, and there's a large oil spill underneath the car. Also on the southbound one, just north of Vista Point, we have another traffic hazard. A man is working underneath his truck with his legs sticking out in the lane, so proceed with caution there. And weather tonight's going to be clear with lows in the 40s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Enjoy your evening and have a great commute and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Just 7 pardon days remain for George W. Bush to wipe out the crimes of his cronies in the administration. Put down the bottle, W., and you better get signing.
What are you saying to you about? I don't like music. I
It's the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. All my lines are available right now, so you can dial in and get on the air quickly. You can comment on any subject in the news, anything you care about that you think other people might care about. And our rules are simple. Any viewpoint from any place you want to call, and you know how that works. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I found this buried in the New York Times. That caller, Joe, I think his name was, who was out on a boat in Monterey Bay today making me jealous. He talked about an article that he cared about that was buried deep, deep, deep in the San Jose Mercury News. And here's one from page A11 next to an ad for Wells Fargo Bank in today's New York Times, Tuesday. In an unusually public rebuke, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert of Israel said Monday that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had been forced to abstain from a United Nations resolution on Gaza that she helped draft after Olmert placed a phone call to President Bush. I said, "Get me President Bush on the phone," Olmert said in a speech in the southern Israeli city of Ashkelon, this according to the Associated Press. They said he was in the middle of giving a speech in Philadelphia. I said I didn't care, I need to talk to him now. Mr. Olmert continued. He got off the podium and spoke to me. Israel opposed the UN resolution, which called for a halt to the fighting in Gaza. Olmert claimed that once he made his case to Bush, the president called Rice and told her to abstain. She was left pretty embarrassed, Olmert said, according to the AP. Now, the State Department disputes Olmert's account. Her recommendation was to abstain. That was her recommendation all along. After the vote, Rice said the U.S. fully supports the resolution, which called for an immediate, durable, and fully respected ceasefire leading to the full withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza, but opted to abstain to see the outcome of an Egyptian-French peace initiative. Now, this is a very interesting exposure of the back channels. And even if you discount Olmert, I mean, he's a crook. He's on his way out. And he's trying to fix his legacy with this violent incursion into Gaza. Over 900 people, almost 1,000 now have died. Let's see, 900 and, where's my count here? 980 Palestinians have been killed, 4,400 wounded in 18 days. And why would Bush leave a speech to take a call from Olmert and then order Condoleezza Rice to do the bidding of the president? Well, he's actually the prime minister of Israel. I mean, who does she work for? Who does he work for? I'm talking about Bush. And I find this really scary and a violation of our sovereignty. And it exposes clearly the collusion between Washington and Tel Aviv. And I think it's ugly. I don't think the United States should have abstained on that vote. But we should be doing much more to try to calm the situation and end the disproportionate violence that's being visited far too often on children and women. And yet the U.S. sits back and allows it to continue. Obama, mostly silent on the issue. I haven't had a chance to review Hillary Clinton's testimony today at her confirmation hearings. I'm sure Israel and Gaza came up. And I'm almost as sure that nothing new would be described in her position. So I find that very troubling. And again, it's something that was buried in the paper, probably won't make it on the cable shout shows tonight. But I thought you'd like to know. We're going to take a break here. The rest of the program is wide open for your phone calls. We call it the Free Speech Zone. And if nobody calls, I'm going to play excerpts from the final press conference of George W. Bush, where I've suggested reporters should have put a breathalyzer on the presidential microphone. I can't prove he was drunk, but he was talking stupider than usual. He even used misunderstand, and it appears like he meant it. 888-5-PETER-B. Let's talk. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204, or go to cornerstonewellnesscenter.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times, we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The line's open for you in the free speech zone, 888-5-PETER-B. They say sex sells. I think that's what this is about.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
Time, and I found it here in the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives. That's Melanie Sofka.
Don't go too fast, but I go pretty far.
Now, George W. Bush is threatening to do one more address to the nation, mangling syntax, butchering the language, and generally embarrassing himself. Monday, he gave a news conference, and it promises, we hope, to be his last. And Mark Crispin Miller sent out a dispatch suggesting that Bush has been drinking and may have had a nip or two before he went to the podium. And as you listen to this, these are excerpts from this news conference yesterday. If I can get this player to work, here we go. And Bush seems so loosey-goosey that you have to ask if he was altered in some way. And I can only raise the question. I can't prove it. But in recent weeks, his public appearances, he strikes me as somebody who's slightly loaded. And let's see if I've got this in the right place. I'm having a little trouble with the video player from the White House, and I think it's because their servers are loaded down with all those hidden emails they've been keeping from Melanie Sloan and the investigators. But listen carefully, because he's laying on some insincere comments to the press corps, and in there he talks about being misunderstood, and that's one of the original mangled phrases, malaprops, that Bush used that has become quite famous. Let's listen.
I appreciate working with you. My friends would say, what is it like to deal with the press? I said, these are just people that are trying to do the best they possibly can. And so here, I'm
oh, come on.
Interested in answering some of your questions.
No, really.
But mostly I'm interested in saying thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's a really poor recording. As I said, it's very hard to hear exactly what he said. But he says, he's kind of slurring his words. He says, I'm interested in answering some of your questions, but mostly I'm interested in saying thank you for the job. And just before that, this is from the transcript. Through it all, it's been, I have respected you. Sometimes didn't like the stories that you wrote or reported on. Sometimes you misunderestimated me. Yeah, he actually said that. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable. I'll see if I can get this to play a little more smoothly. And play a little more of it in between phone calls here. You're welcome to stop the progress here of the Bush press conference by just calling into the Free Speech Zone. 888-573-8372-888-5-PETER-B. Here's Billy in Capitola. Hey, Billy.
Hi, I called Peter so that I'd rather hear my voice than the president.
Well, good for you. That's two of us.
Yeah. He was being, self-deprecating when he said to misunderestimate.
You think so?
Absolutely.
You think so?
It was written for him.
You're being too nice.
He was told, well, I don't know. He didn't come up with it. It was written for him by someone else, but he delivered the joke.
You think so?
Well, you know what? Everything else about him was so typical of the way he governed was the way he left.
Yeah.
And I must say, at least I could enjoy that the man is to me the most disgusting. Here's the thing. He's been our role model for the last 8 years. And nothing could have been more toxic for the youth, and for that matter, the people at the top levels of our society, and by that I mean the businessmen. And I want to talk about, capitalism,
mm-hmm.
Capitalism 2.0. Am I wrong in thinking that we should be looking at basic things right now, that maybe this is an opportunity to change things, or will it have to be business as usual?
Well, Billy, I certainly embrace what you're about to talk about, which is fundamental and very significant change to address the imbalances, the inequities, the downright criminal elements of our system, and to try to build a much more progressive structure. But I don't see a will for it among our leaders, and a lot of it is because they're bought and paid for by corporate interests.
Well, we have a new leader who possibly could rise to this occasion. It's not impossible for Barack Obama, who of course is a politician, to get there, because it's not impossible. And what I mean is, you know what I mean, that literally, can't we make a suggestion that the workers deserve a bigger piece of whatever it is the corporation brings home than the upper management? I mean, can't we agree that, for example, we decided the other day, if you sit on the tarmac more than 3 hours, you can't make more than $300,000 a year as an airline manager.
Mm-hmm.
So, why not? Why not, for example, say that no CEO can ever get a raise bigger than what his employees got that year?
But
if
Billy,
you pay 10% more to your employees, you get 10% more.
But Billy, you appear to have zero respect for the tattered free market system.
I've been paying attention, Peter. And you got to understand, I'm one who's, I'm not some poor schmuck who just has been a victim of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I haven't had my money stolen by, Enron, and I could continue the list, but I won't.
Yeah, I had some Enron too.
Yeah,
brilliant.
But what I was thinking today, Maria Bartiromo on CNBC ends the market day when they ring the bell and says, "Do you know where your money is?" And I was thinking, let me see.
Yeah,
of my money went to California electrical rates when Enron screwed me there. Oh, and then, and at some point I had Enron stock, and I got screwed there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my money is in the hands of the banking people who paid themselves $30, $40, and $50 million to basically take every dollar this country had and throw it away. I do know where my money is, and it's really ugly.
Yeah. Now, Billy, I have advanced this once before, but as long as we got plenty of time here, nobody else is calling, and they can change that. They know how to dial in. But here's one of the things that I find fascinating. I believe that the corporate structure is a brilliant thing. The limited liability company permits people to pool their capital to take risks that the risk of an individual is limited to how much they put in. And when the corporate structure is properly executed with a board of directors that observes its fiduciary obligations, not to the CEO, not to management, but to the shareholders and secondarily the employees.
Well, not even secondarily. I would say equally.
But the corporate structure is set up for the shareholders.
Yeah, but the shareholders can't make a dime if the employees don't exist and do a good job.
I don't disagree with you. My point is...
And I've never been an employee, so maybe I'm wrong about this. I only look at employees and imagine what it's like to actually work hard all day.
But my point relates to the existing structure.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that if we simply allowed it to operate according to the textbook with appropriate enforcement of those who fail to observe their fiduciary responsibilities, we wouldn't have CEOs getting these huge bonuses for losing money,
right,
for running a company into the ground. We would not have this coziness between the board and the current management.
And we have examples of both things in today's corporate world, so it's not like it doesn't happen, because it does happen. And in fact, the company where my money came from, where my wife worked, was more like the way we want them to be than not.
Mm-hmm.
They really did share. My wife was never upper management, but we did just fine, thanks very much, because they shared with all the employees.
Mm-hmm.
They had a way of rewarding excellent behavior at work.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of great Silicon Valley companies that did that, and I think that's an important model. But to your point, I believe that if the board treats the interests of the shareholders appropriately, that they will do the same for the workers, because the shareholders need a well-trained and efficient, productive workforce in order to get the profits they expect and for their share values to go up.
But did Bob Rubin make $100 million by doing that on the board of Citibank? It doesn't look like it.
Of course not. No, and that's where we have turned these things into casinos. We have rewarded short-term behavior, and that has led to also a huge round of fraud. And this is, again, where there's been no enforcement. The cops have been off the beat. And that's why I believe that while I would like to see reforms, and I'm not opposed to capitalism 2.0, you and I haven't talked about all the details, but I know you well enough that I can trust you to do a good job with that. But we don't even need to go that far. If we simply embraced the fundamental rules of capitalism as expressed in the corporate structure, we would not be where we are today.
Well, that, by the way, that is capitalism 2.0. You're right. You got it. Actually, just playing by the rules that make the most sense for everybody along the way.
And we've got to get the greedsters and the fraudsters out of the picture. And we haven't done that, and everybody's been complicit. Let's ding the Democrats here for a minute, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because one of my big beefs is the expensing of stock options for executives. All right. Now, I don't mind so much expensing of stock options for rank and file workers, because I actually think that's in the best interests of the shareholders. But we've seen these huge option packages, and companies like Apple got caught backdating the options for the best benefit of those receiving them. And these are clearly illegal acts. And yet we've seen Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein all defend this, saying that, well, expensing stock options would just kill the entrepreneurial engine in Silicon Valley. That's
ridiculous.
Bogus.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stealing. It's an organized. It is an organized kind of stealing, because if I own a share in XYZ Corporation, and the board grants a huge stock option package to the CEO for whatever reason, even if my stock went up 15% in that year, they are stealing from me and diluting the value of my shares in order to reward this CEO. And that's just flat wrong.
I mean, that's exactly what goes on.
So what do we do about it, Billy?
Well, one of the things that I don't understand why they don't do again is, what would be wrong with raising the top rates really high again, the marginal rates? Lower them on the middle class. But why? What's wrong with asking somebody who thinks that they deserve over $30 million a year to actually pay 90% of that in tax? Because, frankly, the only way you get that is by screwing the rest of us.
Right. Well, and also a simple one is the mortgage deduction. Why do we allow full deductibility of a $6 million home, the interest payments on that? I'm sorry. That's way out of the mainstream. And the idea of allowing you to write off the interest on your mortgage was to allow middle-class people to buy a home. And so we shouldn't be subsidizing McMansions. But we do.
Yeah.
And there, you know, even the firebrand progressives out there, I can't find one elected official in California who will go on record with me and say, you know what, the time has come to reform Proposition 13. They won't. They just won't touch it.
I am hearing people talk about it again. You're right. I'm not hearing it from somebody who actually has to get elected for anything.
I love to make even, you know, I like John Garamendi, but I like to make him squirm by bringing it up.
Keep it up. Vex these people, please.
Well, and Billy, this is the moment, all right? Between 1978 and now, property values continued to go up, and Prop 13 made some sense. It made its most sense at the time it passed. But it made some sense as time went on because it was, you know, helping people stay in their homes. But as people saw their equities double, triple, and quadruple, to continue to protect that bubble was bad economics and bad tax policy.
Oh, and by the way, underfunding our cities, our counties, our states, guess what? This idea that taxes is bad, that's toxic to a good society. And it's really hurt us.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Billy, thanks for co-hosting this segment. I appreciate it.
You bet, Mr. Steve.
Okay, good to talk to you. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And I know how to make sure nobody else calls this hour. I heard Ron Owens on a local radio station here today asking people to name the great things, the accomplishments of the Bush administration. You want to take that on? I'd love to hear from you. 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on Rio Road, just west of Carmel Rancho Boulevard, we have a collision with no injuries. And on the northbound 101, just south of La Gloria Road, there is roofing debris spread all over the lanes. Taking a look at Santa Cruz on Highway 17, just north of Summit, a car has gone off the road and is facing down into a trench. And in Hollister-Gilroy on the northbound 101, just north of Bailey Avenue, we've got some tire tread in the road. Also on the northbound 101, just south of Monterey Road, a vehicle has hit a tree and an ambulance is responding. That's your traffic on AM 540. Have a terrific evening, everybody, and stay with Peter B. Collins.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the home stretch here. I'm going to recommend that everybody wear Ray-Bans to the inauguration. Maybe Obama's got a neuralizer. He wants us to forget the crimes of the Bush administration, how they wasted the $350 billion first installment of the TARP fund. But my memory's intact. And I am not unwilling to forgive. I am unwilling to forget.
From the deepest of the darkest night on the horizon, bright light into sight, tight camera zoom on independent.
888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, and I do want to invite you to tune in on Inauguration Day. Certainly, a lot of media will be covering the events in Washington, but nothing with our special flavor. Jeff Santos, my buddy who does the morning show on WWZN 1510 in Boston, he'll be live in Washington Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The broadcast will be Monday and Tuesday, but on Sunday he'll be there recording interviews with a number of great progressives and people on scene for the inauguration. And Tuesday morning he'll be there from 6 a.m. Boston time on, and I'll pick up the baton, the coverage in the afternoon after the inauguration. Oath of office and all of the speechifying that takes place. And we've got a lot of great people lined up to talk with us who will be talking about their idea of what should be on the Obama progressive agenda as we head into this exciting new window of opportunity in America. And, you know, I hope you understand that even though I offer daily criticisms of Republicans and some Democrats, that I'm very excited at the end of the Bush era. I'm quite hopeful of the promise of the Obama era, but it will not be fully realized unless we think critically and act aggressively. We can't just sit back and say, well, we got some Democrats elected. Get back to me in 3.5 years and we'll see what we need to do for the campaign in 2012. No, we're going to have to remain active, vigilant, and we're going to have to get in the faces of people who we like, people who we think should be our leaders. And this job will never end. And so I invite you and enlist you to be part of the Thinking Progressive Movement. There are other progressive media out there which, in my view, come too close to being an echo chamber for the Democratic Party. And if you ever, ever sense that that's happening to me, I want you to call me on it. I invite you to ring me up, email me, and say, hey, dude, you're doing what you criticize them for. Well, I hope to remain independent. It is my goal to continue to offer you my unvarnished opinion, right or wrong. And I think it's the healthiest way to move forward as we say goodbye to the wrecking crew and work to build a better country. And I think first and you know, not necessarily first and foremost, but a major part of that is exposing the wrongdoing and the bad policies of the past. And I don't agree with Obama, Pelosi, and others who just want to move on. You misunderestimate me when you offer that kind of a viewpoint. Tom's calling from Prunedale, listening to KRXA 540. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Love your show as always. What's the big deal with this all this investigating, like Conyers and all these people that we're hoping will investigate? Isn't Bush just going to pardon everybody on the way out the door? And make this all moot, all these investigations?
Well, a couple of things on that. One is we don't know that yet. And so I do expect a lot of pardons from Bush. He's been saving them up. And, you know, I think that we're going to hear about them on the morning of Inauguration Day. They will be announced strategically at some time when they hope the fewest people are paying attention. But I do expect pardons, and I expect them to go right up through Dick Cheney. But I don't think that that means that we can't fully investigate. It may limit the option to pursue criminal and civil damages from these individuals. But I'm much more interested in exposing what happened, examining the policy failures and the intentional torture to our legal system and to the treaties that we're party to, etc. And I want to see that happen so that we make a clear statement to the world that the Bush administration was an aberration and that Obama is redefining America along its original terms. And I hope that's the overall message that comes out of this.
Well, but, I hope you're right, and I hope that will we be able to get them to respond, take the subpoenas seriously? They never did.
It remains to be seen. Again, the Congress has to assert its power. And Obama can call up and say, don't do that. But he can't stop, say, Sheldon Whitehouse, the senator from Rhode Island, who says he's going to move forward with investigations. And so I take Whitehouse at his word, and what we need to do is back him up and let him and others know that there is support for efforts of that type.
Well, thank you for a great show today.
All right, Tom, thank you for calling. You got the last word here on the PBC show. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I invite you to join me then. My thanks to Katrina Rill and Nick Tanum for keeping us running wild.
Trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's the season's first blast of really cold Arctic air. CBS Early Show forecaster Dave Price reports from Minneapolis.
The below-zero wind chills are affecting the Midwest and upper Midwest, from minus 10 below in Des Moines, Iowa, to 50 below in Grand Forks, North Dakota. That means busy days for car repairmen and those fixing furnaces.
We've been doing about two a day.
Wind-whipped snow brought slippery conditions and whiteouts, causing pileups on highways from Illinois to Indiana.
Most people dress in layers to face that kind of cold, but for this man in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, two layers is enough.
Sweatshirt and a T-shirt, and that's it. So I don't sweat, because as soon as I sweat, then you get cold.
The cold air is moving into the Ohio Valley, and it's expected on the East Coast by Thursday. A new wrinkle in the cabinet confirmation process. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
The nominee for Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner met with senators to talk about the revelation that he didn't pay all his taxes till the IRS sent him a bill. This when he worked for the International Monetary Fund, which doesn't withhold as American companies do, and Geithner employed a housekeeper past her legal visa date. One Democrat called those honest mistakes. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid adds Geithner's qualified to be
one of the finest
Secretaries of Treasury this country has ever had.
Republicans withhold comments, saying they'll ask Geithner about these embarrassments at his confirmation hearing. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Secretary of State designate Hillary Clinton had her confirmation hearing today. She offered strong support for Israel's action in Gaza.
The president-elect and I understand and are deeply sympathetic to Israel's desire to defend itself under the current conditions and to be free of shelling by Hamas rockets.
Explosions rocked Gaza City today as Israeli forces pressed their offensive. More Hamas rockets were fired into Israel. But the Egyptian mediation effort continued, and Israel sent its chief negotiator to Cairo for what are described as decisive talks. There's a nationwide manhunt for an accused swindler from Indiana who apparently bailed out of his small plane over Alabama Sunday night. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has the story.
The Marshal Service is casting a wide net, deploying fugitive